Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The more you feed the spirit, the more you starve the flesh. You see, a lot of times what we're doing is we're just trying to starve the flesh, but it doesn't work that way. You can't starve the flesh. It will never die out that way. You have to feed the spirit. And then it's the spirit that subdues the flesh.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Galatians. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, in a message titled, The Spirit and the Flesh. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
This is an absolute fact. I can tell you after, 35 years of being a pastor, I can tell you this. The people who engage consistently with the Word of God are the people who experience the blessing and the benefit of, the spiritual life. The believers who are not engaged with the Word of God are the ones that have the most consistently the ongoing struggles with the flesh. It's that simple in some ways. It comes down to that. Because it's through God's Word that our spiritual lives are strengthened. It's through God's Word that we are transformed, actually. God's Word is not like any other word. It's God's Word, and it has transformative power. And it renews us into the image of the one who made us. And so the more we engage with God's Word, the more we will find ourselves walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And engagement with God's Word is something that we do on a personal level, meaning that we take the time, not just, at a church service, but we take the time ourselves and we spend time consistently in God's Word, meditating on it, asking God to speak to us through it, asking Him to guide and direct our lives through it, becoming familiar with it. But we also have that other aspect where we're kind of doing that right now, where we're coming together around God's Word. We're looking to His Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit with teaching and prophecy and those things to also be actively at work to give us better understanding and to speak, into our lives. So, but it's engagement with God's Word. Remember this. Every time I read this, I'm touched by these words of Jesus. He said, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that is so profound. Man shall not live by bread only. And bread there is food. Man shall not live by food only. Man is not just a material being. We are spiritual beings. And just as food is what nourishes our material bodies, so God's Word is the primary nourishment for our spiritual person. And, when you think about food, do you think about food mostly like, oh, darn, I've got to eat? Or do you think about it like, all right, I get to eat. I can't wait to eat. Now, occasionally, it depends on what's on the menu, right? You might go, oh, darn, I got to eat this. You don't really want it. That's mostly a kid experience. Once we get old enough, we decide what we're going to eat and what we're not. But, I know for me, I think of eating, it's a very positive thing. I'm not even thinking of it so much as I need to nourish my body. I need more vitamins. I need more minerals. I'm not thinking of it so much like that. I'm thinking of it more in the sense that, I'm just enjoying doing this, so I want to do it. And if we understand that God's Word is to the soul and to the spirit what food is to the body, we will have that same perspective. It's like, it's not like I've got to eat, like somebody's forcing this down me and I don't want to eat. It's like, man, I get to eat. I get to have that that favorite meal. And as we engage with God's word and as we develop the appreciation for it that we potentially should have and rightly ought to have, that's what happens. It starts to become this thing where it's like, man, all right, I get to eat. And so it starts there, engagement with God's word personally. It, like I said, in the sense that you know, you pick up your Bible, you read it. But also, you know, there are so many wonderful supplemental kinds of things that are available to us as well. We live in unprecedented time of Christian literature and so forth, you know, in the West and especially in the English language. We have more, there's more resources, tools in the English language for Bible study and so forth than in any other language. There's more stuff available to us today than there ever has been. It's more easily accessed these days than it ever has been before. And, you know, now with the advent of all of the electronics and the technology and everything, you know, you used to have to, you know, if you wanted to listen to your favorite Bible teacher, you had to be somewhere where, you know, there was either a radio station or you had, you know, you had to order their tape series or whatever. Man, now it's all just, you know, it's right there. You just download it. You get the podcast. You can go through. And there's so much stuff. There's absolutely no good reason why we shouldn't be saturating ourselves with God's word. So that's a priority right there. That's where it starts. And then along with God's word, just these spiritual practices, prayer. Again, prayer is not, for us, it's not a duty because we're not trying to earn something from God through prayer. Prayer is a delight. It's part of the relationship that we have. We get to communicate with God. We get to talk to God. We read God's word. He speaks to us as he's speaking to us as we're reading the scriptures, meditating on them, thinking about them. We talk back to him. We share our hearts with him. We tell him our concerns, our fears, all of those kinds of things. We look for a response from him. You see, again, we're just talking about a life where we're conscious of and living in the Spirit. Again, I want to go back to the biblical picture. When you read the New Testament, just read the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, what you see is these people lived day to day with a consciousness of the fact that there was a spiritual world, that things were not just what they seemed on the outside, but there was something that was going on behind the scenes. They lived with this. They understood this. And they conducted their lives in relation to that reality. And that's what we're talking about. Walking in the Spirit is just recognizing that the Spirit is the primary thing, the foremost thing. And the battle that we all face is the imposition of the material upon the Spirit. One of the huge philosophies in the world is materialism. What does materialism ultimately say? It doesn't ultimately say, hey, you should buy as many, you know, clothes as you can get or have the nicest car that you have. That's not the essence of materialism. The essence of materialism is that the material is all there is, and therefore the material is all that matters. But the Bible gives a completely different picture. The Bible says that the material is temporal and the spiritual is eternal. Therefore, it's the spiritual that ultimately really matters. So we who walk in the Spirit are people who are going to be conscious of that and living with that sense that, you know, the main reality is the spiritual. So I feed my spirit through the word of God. So I communicate with God through prayer. So I find myself just taking occasion and looking for opportunity to praise God. All of these things are ways of cultivating my spiritual life. And that's just me by myself. But then you have the connection with one another. So we have fellowship. And fellowship is the relationships that we have with each other where Christ is the center of those relationships. And so I, through that fellowship, I am blessed and I grow because I glean from you and I see God's work in your life and I'm challenged by it or I'm comforted by it or, you know, something like that. There's something that's happening there between us because of the fellowship that we share. And then, you know, we've talked a lot about just the whole idea of community, being in community together. And that simply means doing life together with other Christians. And there are some Christians who literally live lives of isolation when it comes to this whole idea of community and doing life with other believers. They're isolated. They're isolated even when they come and they're in the midst of a group of other Christians. They don't connect, they don't associate, they don't really engage. But we have to engage in these things. And that's one of the reasons why we've moved toward trying to establish these community groups where, you know, a dozen or so people can really begin to bond together with one another around God's word and his spirit and his purposes and those kinds of things. And all of this is just what life in the spirit looks like. And then there's service to God. You know, being involved in service. Did you know that when you serve God, he empowers you to do it? And in serving God, there is both an outlet for the things that you are receiving from him, and there's also an infusion of new things that he gives you. I don't know if you realize that or not. Serving God isn't just this thing like, oh gosh, I gotta go do that, and I'm just gonna be so drained when I go do that. No, actually, when you go do that, you are gonna be energized by the Spirit of God. Because God's going to be with you. He's going to give you supernatural strength and ability and things like that. And oftentimes, people have experienced this multiple times, and I have experienced this multiple times, where even maybe on a physical level, I just didn't feel like I had the strength to do certain things, but just feeling like prompted, like, you know, I need to do it, and then finding that God would meet you there and give you a real sense of his presence and power to do those things that he's called you to do. Years ago when I was very sick, it was during the long seasons of illness that the Lord called me to go take mission trips and do church planting in countries that I'd never been to before. And all of it seemed so daunting. All of it seemed so wrong in so many ways. It's like, Lord, wait till I get better and then we can do this. You know, I'm sick. Can't you see? I'm like in bed. I can't get on an airplane and go do something in this country. I don't know anything about it. You know, these were conversations I would have with the Lord over the years. And inevitably, what would happen is at the end of the day, I would feel that God was, you know, really just nudging me. Look, you need to go do this. And what I would always find is that God met me in those places with his power and enabled me to do what I really couldn't have done in my own strength. So engaging in service and being that person who steps out in witness for Christ and all of that. Again, you know, perhaps you've experienced this where you've just taken a step to share your faith with somebody and you have found when you've done that, that suddenly you know things you didn't know you knew. And you feel this power to just, you know, communicate these vital, eternal truths. That's the Lord meeting you there. That's the Lord doing what the Spirit does in those circumstances. So these are the kinds of things. And again, it's not that these things just happen in certain locations, like the sacred places, but we just take the sacred wherever we go. And like the scripture says, like Paul would say in other places, whatever we're doing with all of our heart as to the Lord, not to men. If I'm doing something that's obviously connected to the kingdom and it's an outreach, it's a, you know, a missions trip or it's an evangelistic endeavor or something, you know, fantastic. But also if I'm just, I'm there on my job and I'm doing what I'm doing there as unto the Lord. And that place becomes a sacred place. That becomes even a context where I can be walking in the Spirit and experiencing that life of the Spirit. And then the final thing I would say is just the simple truth of obedience. Walking in the Spirit means walking in obedience to the things that God has laid out for us in His Word. Those who are walking in the Spirit are walking in obedience. And that's really that the outcome of walking in the Spirit. Paul says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the thing that I want you to see as we close here is that we oftentimes, in seeking to overcome the flesh, we approach it from the wrong direction. And this is vital. And this is really what the passage is pointing us to. But what do I mean by we approach it from the wrong direction? Well, here's how we often approach it. I see things in my life that are manifestations of the flesh. And I know that these things are wrong. I know that they're unpleasing to God. I know that I shouldn't be engaging in these things. And so here's how I approach it. I look at that and say, you know, I know that's wrong. I know this doesn't please the Lord. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm just, you know, I'm going to take every precaution and I'm going to make sure that I don't go near that. And I'm going to, you know, just not think about those things. And when that temptation comes up, I'm going to run away from it. And, you know, so that's what we do. And then inevitably what happens to us is even though we are determined, even though we are committed, we find ourselves stumbling over and over again. We find ourselves caught in this cycle of, you know, I just keep doing this thing over again. But I swore that I wouldn't do it. I know it's the flesh. And I know I'm not supposed to walk in the flesh. And so, you see, our approach is from the wrong direction. How is it from the wrong direction? I'm approaching it through my own determination. And ultimately, I'm leaning on my own strength, even though I might not think I am. I'm saying, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. But I keep doing it. Why? Because I've got it reversed. You see, the way to approach it is not to approach it that way, but the way to approach it is to just say, you know, I am going to dive head first into the things of the Spirit. And listen, when you do that, you know what happens? You find that those things that you've struggled with, those things that have just seemed to have you bound up, those things that you haven't been able to get a victory over, you know what you find? You just find that they just drop off of you. They just, you know, sometimes you don't even recognize it until maybe a few months have passed and then you suddenly, it suddenly hits you like, wow, wait, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not even thinking about that. How is that? Well, because you've just immersed yourself in the things of the Spirit. And so as you do that, as you just engage yourself more and more with the Lord, then He, by the Spirit, is going to subdue those things of the flesh. The more you feed the Spirit, the more you starve the flesh. You see, a lot of times what we're doing is we're just trying to starve the flesh. But it doesn't work that way. You can't starve the flesh. It will never die out that way. You have to feed the Spirit. And then it's the Spirit that subdues the flesh. So you see, the coming at it from the right direction is coming at it from the place of I'm going to just give myself over to the things of the Spirit. And the more I immerse myself in this, the more I engage in the life of the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, these things will inevitably die off because they are the works of the flesh and the flesh is being subdued by the Spirit. So it's kind of the illustration of, you know, if you go into a dark room, How do you expel the darkness? It's very simple. You just turn on the light. That's what you do. That's the way to get the darkness out. You turn on the light. And that's what we're talking about here. You turn on the light. You engage with the Spirit. And you find that the darkness is then dispelled. So this is the beautiful thing. Now, the last thing that I want you to see as we close is I want you to see that what Paul does here is he kind of brings everything that he said right to this point. So it's like, okay, he's talked about the error of the false teachers. He's talked about the folly of the Galatians. He's corrected their wrong views. He's established the truth from the scriptures. He's done all of that. And verse 16, these first three words, I say then. So it's like Paul is, you know, okay, here's all of the wrong thinking and behavior that we've addressed and dealt with. So where do we go from here? I say then, this is where we go from here. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So this is the answer to everything. This is the answer to all of those issues that the Galatians were confused about and the things that they were drifting back into and all of that. This is the answer. The answer is walk in the Spirit. And so wherever we are at today, in confusion, in any kind of bondage to our flesh in the sense of, you know, behaving according to the works of the flesh, what is the solution? The solution is walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Immerse yourself in the things of the Spirit. Just dive in with everything. Just a full and complete, you know, immersion is the word I keep using because, you know, to immerse something means you just, it goes all the way under. And just go all the way in with the Spirit and you will find that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, victory over sin is not unattainable. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean we're going to live sinlessly perfect lives. But what it does mean is that those things that bind us up and those things that, you know, really impede our progress and those things that prevent us from really experiencing the fullness of God's blessing upon our lives, those things are going to be dealt with. And as we just continue to do this, as this just is our lifestyle, it's a lifestyle of the Spirit, we find that the victory is the result. And that's what it means. Not fulfilling the lust of the flesh is the victory that we have through this simple instruction of walking in the Spirit.
For the month of June, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Imperfect Disciple, Grace for People Who Can't Get Their Act Together by Jared C. Wilson. We live in a world where even Christians are enamored by those who call themselves influencers and leaders who are striving to build their platforms. But as the world focuses its attention upon how to become influencers and leaders, Jared C. Wilson will bring you back to the place of the priority of learning to follow Jesus. Have you become frustrated with the promises of experienced Christian growth if you just knew the five things that would help or the next five steps to take, only to find you're still in a place of defeat? Are you ready to experience Jesus in a way that's gospel-centered? Are you ready to bring your messiness to Jesus? Well, in his book, The Imperfect Disciple, Grace for People Who Can't Get Their Act Together, Jared C. Wilson will help you understand true discipleship and what it means to follow Jesus by the grace of God. You will find freedom from the to-do list discipleship, and you will be encouraged by the realities of what Jesus has already done. Discipleship is essential for spiritual growth and following Jesus. So if you want help demystifying discipleship so you can experience what it means to follow Jesus, we encourage you to call us right now. at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Galatians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.